of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will. Oh, I know this.
Curse you, ESRB. Curse you, Santos Rating Board. She could have been part of the family, the Smash family, but you had to deny her. Deny the hopes and dreams of many men, women, and children alike.
God,
you
don't push
darn me. Dirty rat.
Oh, Godfather! Right? That was the music? Godfather?
Yes, sir.
Just
yes,
making
sir.
Sure.
Back to back weeks for Todd. How about
Thank
that?
Thank you. Thank you. I also didn't hear it. I actually didn't get it until you said darn dirty rat, even though that's not actually from Godfather. But, nice job, Will. And don't push it that a whole bunch of men, women, and children won that certain lady in Smash Brothers. But, I was going to say a dirty joke, but I don't want to do it now.
I mean, again, we'll talk about it later.
We will.
We'll discuss it, but, I have my feelings.
Oh, yeah. He will have fury. He has fury. Also here is Tellius Tyler, who doesn't have as much fury.
I was watching the Sakurai Direct, and as soon as I saw that come up, I paused it, went to our Discord, and I had a message Will just to see how salty he was.
Oh, he's
because
salty.
that was a pointed criticism of Will himself from
pretty much
Mr. Sakurai.
Pretty much.
Actually, an English voice. It wasn't directly from Sakurai himself. It was an English disembodied voice.
Yeah,
whatever. I just want you to know, Will, while I understand your frustrations and I understand why you are upset, you have to contain your fury because it can be fatal.
Boo.
Oh, shut up. I'm the host, dang it. All right, so we got a fun show for you tonight featuring a whole bunch of Smash Brothers news and Pokemon and a very fun topic about leaks. But first, we're going to get started off with what have you been playing? And Will, I'll let you go first so you can just let out your frustration to talk about something positive of your week, the games you've been playing. Go ahead.
All right. So yeah, before we get into the whole Fatal Fury thing, but for me, like, I actually have been kind of good on the Fire Emblem Hero side. I actually managed to go and pull off Catria at the last few hours of the Song Banner, so Karn, you guys finally blessed me a little bit to get me out of my rut. And during this past weekend, I actually have been managed to play two demos. The first one is the Neo 2 beta, which is basically, if you love your Samurai Dark Souls, aside from Sekiro, then yeah, Neo is definitely like a very good substitute. It's like the one main difference is, again, you're not playing as William anymore. You're not playing as the prior protagonist. You're now playing as your own customized avatar character, which, again, Koei Tecmo knows how to make custom characters, and they know the details they want. So yeah, Bandai Namco, Koei Tecmo, you know how to make character avatars. And gameplay-wise, it's just as you would imagine. Like, the one thing I also really like about the new things in the Neo 2 Alpha is basically you can finally use Yokai powers. Basically, like, extra abilities that you, like, gain from, like, demons that you slay, the Yokai that you slay. So I guess you can say it's kind of a little bit taking influence from Tokiden of their other franchises, with a little bit of, I feel like there was also one more franchise, like, you take elements of their enemies, use their souls, like Castlevania in a sense, yeah, like similar to Castlevania. But yeah, overall, like, the Neo 2 beta so far, which is continuing until the 10th, is very fun. I can't wait. I mean, again, it basically, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, and they've only improved upon it, so props to you, Ninja, yep. Koei Tecmo. And the second beta I actually managed to get into from Bandai Namco was actually the One Punch Man, the hero nobody knows beta, which is basically only, unfortunately, it was a code beta, which only allows them during certain times. I mean, if you love your anime arena fighters, like the Naruto Ultimate Ninja series, or like any like arena brawlers of that sort, then you're pretty much gonna fit right in, no problem. And I don't know, like, I gotta say, harnessing the power of One Punch Man, of Saitama's One Punch, they were not kidding. The guy is literally overpowered. You try to hit him, he's invincible. You can't even scratch him. He doesn't flinch. The moment that he gets, like, he hits literally just one tap, you're done. He's basically a golden gun, an invincible golden gun in GoldenEye. And I gotta say, like, the mode, I can see it could be very fun based, because the only thing that is a handicap is if you want to use Saitama, he's gonna come in late. And you have to basically have to stall for time until he comes over. Like, Matt get reaches you in time before he can actually be usable. So basically, he is like your playmaker. You're lower down by a member, but he is your playmaker if you like stall for time or do well in match. And yeah, playing as Saitama, playing as Tatsumaki from like all these different characters from One Punch Man series is like, it's very fun. And with a little bit of your own customized avatar character as well is pretty fun as well. So overall, the closed beta was actually not too bad. I actually enjoyed it. I need to give in my survey feedback, but like there maybe is like one person that's a little bit overpowered besides from Saitama, but overall it is a very fun beta. I can't, hopefully they will announce another beta soon coming up. So overall, I've been playing a lot of demos and so far I've enjoyed them. So yep, Nioh 2 and One Punch Man's beta. So definitely keep a lookout for them. Hopefully come
to Switch.
I thought
we would get a Pokemon demo by now, but we probably are not going to get one at all, I guess. Or did we get one? We didn't get one.
No, we didn't get one. That would have been big news if we got one.
Yeah, that's what I realized. Because it just seems so strange, because we definitely got one for Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire.
Yes.
And I think that we got one for Sun and Moon, too. Definitely for Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire.
Yes.
I remember the Sun and Moon one. Yeah, but I'm not surprised that I'm sure there's still... I mean, I know the game's gone gold, but because of how games are nowadays, they're still working on it, no doubt, for like a day one patch.
They were probably really worried about, you know, maybe leaks, so I'm glad that they...
Well,
right.
Leaks, and, you know, they wanted to make sure the online functionality, especially with the wild area, so... Because that's never been in a Pokemon game before.
Right.
So the last thing they want is it to break on day one, so... That's probably why we didn't get a demo, because it would have been hard to, A, make the demo to make it work and be constrained, and then make sure that, you know, it would transfer over to the main game and all that. So I'm okay with no demo. We're only a week away. So
I mean, I think that would probably be a reason why you like put like an online stress test or something to actually test out these things. So yeah. At least get something data, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll set the final that made the right choice. Okay, Tyler, what were your thoughts on your games that you've played?
I have played many games. I carried through what I promised to you all last week. I'm going to start with Super Smash Bros. Because there's a big update with Terry Bogard being added into the game. And I played him for, I want to say, like 3 hours yesterday. And he is a very interesting character in that he plays a lot like Ryu and Ken. So if you've played those characters, you shouldn't have as much trouble picking him up, but he certainly has a difficulty curve because he has the command inputs to do stronger versions of his special attacks. But he also has this interesting comeback mechanic that once he hits 100%, he unlocks two more bonus specials that I think that are called super specials that are incredibly powerful. So he has Power Geyser. And he
Power Geyser. Our Power Geyser and the Busta Wolf, yes.
And Busta Wolf, thank you. He says it really weird, so I couldn't quite... I figured it was Power Geyser.
It's English.
But,
yeah.
Buster Wolf.
Yes, Buster Wolf I would have been able to say. And both of those moves are great, and they kill really, really early, and that they help him out a lot. Unfortunately, I think this character is garbage. I do not think that he is a good... Like, I think he's fun to play. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about, is this character good? Like, if you're trying to play your friends and you want to... And they're good, do you want to pick Terry? Probably not. He has one of the worst recoveries in the game. It's probably worse than Incineroar's. It's very close, but the big problem is he can get horizontal distance pretty easily. His side B, if you do it backwards, he does a flip kick towards the stage. But you know how a lot of characters, when they do their side B, they'll snap to the ledge automatically. It'll cut off the move and they'll grab the ledge. Terry doesn't. He kind of just sits there running against the side of the stage so that any move can just whack him. And if he gets hit off the stage once, he is going to die because his up B is not very good either. And his up B has that same problem. He can't sweet spot the ledge. So he is extremely, extremely easy to edge guard. He is Little Mac level, in my opinion, recovering. Maybe a tiny bit better because Little Mac is really, really bad, but he is awful at recovering, and he just doesn't have the same strength on the ground that Little Mac does. Like, Little Mac is regarded as the worst character in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and I think Terry's probably better because he has some nice combos. He has some really strong moves in the air. Little Mac obviously can't do any air moves, and Terry does have some nice aerials. But I think this character is really, really bad. And I love Ken. I'm very good with Ken. So yes, I was pretty underwhelmed with Terry. But what I was overwhelmed with was some of the other stuff that they put in the update. Jigglypuff got super buffed, like super buffed. Like I've seen people saying Jigglypuff is a high tier character now. So many of her moves are better. Her down aerial can combo into itself, which can combo into rest. She can use Pound, has extra shield stun, so that already really good move is now even better. Her normal B rollout charges faster. They went berserk buffing Jigglypuff and Donkey Kong and King K. Rool and Kirby as well. They took a lot of the low tier characters and they buffed them up, which was nice to see. They didn't touch anybody else, so I think this was another really good patch, and I like what Sakurai and his team are doing with that. Have either of you guys tried Terry yet?
No, I haven't had time.
Sadly, I have not. I actually had updated on last night when they announced it. So yeah, I may actually have to go back to it. I haven't actually played since that Joker released it. So yeah, it's been a while.
Wow, that's so long. Yeah, I can't believe we haven't played it for that many months. But yeah, so that's my thoughts on it. I mean, you might have a different experience, but I enjoy the character. He's very cool, and you could tell Sakurai was just having the time of his life making him, which is what really matters. Like I said, I have Banjo, and I like Hero a lot as well, so I really don't need any other DLC characters as much as I'm glad that we're getting more. But yeah, I don't think Terry's very good. I've also been playing Yooka-Laylee in the Impossible Lair, which is a blast. If you like 2D platformers, you will really, really like this game. It's made by Playtonic Games. They are former Rare employees. So they've worked on Donkey Kong Country. They worked on Banjo-Kazooie. And the first game, Yooka-Laylee, was released to mixed reviews. It had a weird Kickstarter life that was very frustrating for backers. But I really liked that game. I thought it was very underrated and a ton of fun. It certainly wasn't as good as Banjo-Kazooie, but it was very, very good, in my opinion. The Impossible Lair is a 2D platformer, so they went even further back into their history. That it clearly takes inspiration from Donkey Kong Country. That's the best comparison. But it falls somewhere in between being Donkey Kong Country, like the original trilogy, and then Tropical Freeze. Because there is a... when you play the old Donkey Kong Countries, there's this looseness to it. And loose sounds bad, but in this case, it's not. You can really fly through those stages with, you know, Diddy's cartwheel, Dixie's hair twirl. There was really a lot of, I guess fluidity is the better word to describe it. Yooka-Laylee Impossible Lair does not quite have that. It's closer to Tropical Freeze, where in Tropical Freeze, one of the best things about that game is that you really feel the weight of Donkey Kong. When you're playing as Donkey Kong, you really feel that you're moving this giant gorilla, and he has like a little bit of inertia to them, so it's tough to get going, and then when you get going, it's tough to stop. The controls are great. I know that makes it sound like they're not. It feels very, very natural. Yooka-Laylee is similar in that regard, where the momentum is a little more stiff. It's a little bit, I want to say, more concise, which, again, I hate to say that because it sounds like I'm bashing any of the other games. I like Donkey Kong Country 2 as my favorite game of all the 2D platformers, besides Celeste. So yeah, it's an interesting mix between the two. It stages draw inspiration from Tropical Freeze for sure. Like every action has a reaction, and there's a reason for every platform to be where it is. There's no just floating platforms in the abyss. It's all very natural, and the soundtrack is phenomenal. I mean, had Grant Cope and David Wise do some of the sound. You can tell it's phenomenal, and that's definitely a mix of Banjo-Kazooie and the earlier Donkey Kong Countries. I actually hear Banjo-Kazooie music the most when I'm playing this, which is nice. It's like Playtonic got their start remaking a Banjo-Kazooie style of the game, so it's good to see them kind of sticking to those roots. But yeah, no, I really, really like that game, and I highly recommend it. If you're a fan of any of the Donkey Kong Country games, you will definitely like this. It's not quite as good as those games. There is definitely a little bit of jank to it. It's not a, for example, there are these ghost writers that you had to collect in the original game. In this game, they basically serve as bonus challenges to try to collect additional feathers. So if you hit one, it'll run way far ahead and leave a giant trail of feathers for you to chase down. In Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, the bananas that you have to follow, they perfectly map out where you need to jump, and you'll hit every banana in the trail if you're doing it right. In this game, it doesn't always line up just right, and there's a lot of jumps that are like that, and sometimes it's a tiny, tiny bit off, but all in all, phenomenal game. I ask you guys, any interest in any of the ukulele games?
Maybe, no. But I gotta ask you, Tyler. I gotta ask it, like its namesake, that impossible.
Yes, so that's great point, Will. I should have mentioned that. The premise is that there's an impossible lair that you have to beat. And after you start the game, the first thing you do is challenge the final level. And you're probably going to lose. I mean, I guess maybe it's possible to win. I lost like right away, like 7% through, I lost. And then you get kicked out to the overworld, and you have to you beat other levels to collect bees to make every bee you collect adds a hit that you could take in the final level. So it kind of scales up, and you can take the impossible lair on at any point. I've seen people beat it without getting hit, which is amazing. But yes, so that's the general gist. I found it extremely hard to answer your question. Well, I would say yes. And one more point, very minor. Okay, maybe not minor spoiler. Maybe I should hold on to this one. I'll hold on to it for next week, because there is a key moment in this game. You guys know I hate bees. We all hate bees. Who doesn't hate bees? They're horrible creatures. This game involves saving bees, which, you know, I was at a moral conflict because I just wanted to go in and beat the game, beat the impossible lair right away without saving any of the bees, because, you know, bees are evil, naturally. But, you know, there was something that I found online that did change my mind. So I'll save that for next week. But needless to say, Platonic is an ally for all of you anti-bee people. I'm a big Platonic guy after their hard anti-bee stance in this game. And finally, I have been playing Luigi's Mansion. Luigi's Mansion 3. I was looking for a subtitle, but there is no subtitle. Luigi's Mansion 3. And I'm not very, very far. But right away, this game, I love it. I adore it. The animation in that opening cutscene is so good. It is incredible. I believe John Cartwright of Game Explain tweeted this, and I'm going to steal it. Next Level Games needs to make a Mario movie or like a Mario cartoon or so. The animations are so dang charming. It's delightful just to see Toad like carrying Peach's thousands of suitcases into the new mansion. Just great stuff. The enemy design is really, really good. Much better than Dark Moon, in my opinion. I'm very... The few bosses that I faced so far have been pretty memorable, and I'm sure there will be more that up the ante even higher.
There is.
The exploration in this game is rewarding. Maybe not as rewarding as it was in the first game, but I've definitely enjoyed searching every single nook and cranny, trying to uncover all the money that I could possibly find, get all the gems, every single thing that you can vacuum, I attempt to vacuum, including the plunger thing that you can attach to slam things. It's just, you just never know when you're going to find something cool. So yes, my initial thoughts in this game are it is phenomenal and probably better than the original. There's been one complaint that everybody's had, including my younger brother, who's a big Luigi's Mansion fan. People don't like the slam attack, because it makes the combat too easy, but I don't totally agree with that.
I find it makes it much more palatable, because I remember having to just, you know, suck up the ghosts in the first one, and that took sometimes so much time. I prefer the slam attack, especially when you're outnumbered like 6-1 by ghosts, and the slam attack can injure the other ghosts because you're slamming it into them.
Yeah, so you know, I definitely see that being a pro for some, but I see why others don't like it. Because in the original, it was really fun to have to, like, you're sucking up one ghost, and then another one's trying to punch you from behind, and you have to try to dodge it without losing the other ghost, and there's, like, a skill thing there that's definitely harder than what you'll find in this game. But in this game, in that original game, most of the ghosts had 10 or 20 health. And in this game, you can't use a slam attack until you take 20 health off them. So I don't totally agree with the idea that somehow the previous game was actually that much harder to catch the ghosts initially.
Yeah.
I definitely like the approach in Luigi's Mansion 3.
So I'm kind of confused now because I've heard a lot of praise, but I've also heard the complaints. So does it suck or does it not suck? Or does it suck so much that it's good?
It's just good. It's just good. But yeah. You know what? You know what I'm not sure is good, Todd?
Do tell.
Luigi.
Really?
I just don't know how I feel about him. You know, like,
give him a few more floors.
He's
all
right.
More.
He's just, you know, he's
a flubber. He's an emotionless flubber.
But yeah. That's the thing. That's what made Flubber Flubber, though, was his emotion. You know, there was something about him that you just couldn't help but like. Luigi is just like he's a blind canvas.
Give him a few more floors. You're going to be grateful you have him. Trust me.
Okay. We'll do.
All right, so I, too, have been playing Luigi's Mansion 3, no subtitle, and I have been enjoying it for the most part. It, like Tyler said, the animation to the beginning was really great. The ghost puppy, I can't remember his name, is an absolutely Polterpup, he's absolutely adorable. They clearly had a lot of fun with him. Professor Egad is just as hilarious as ever, and... Overall, I love the hotel aesthetic. That was obviously the big hook of this game, was how do you go from a mansion to many mansions to back to one mansion? Easy, make it a hotel and every floor is different. The level design is simple but very fun. They give you reasons to care about every level. I have done, let's see, what floors have I done? I got done with the movie level recently. That was a lot of fun, but also rather complicated for reasons I won't spoil. I've done a greenhouse level, basically. And let's see. Oh, I've done a lot of them. Let's just say that. And it's been a lot of fun because it obviously changes things up, because he's like, oh, I can't use the same strategies here and I have to be looking for different things. And the level names are hilarious. So this is an early level one. You start out on level 5, which is the VIP rooms, right? Oh, no. It's the RIP rooms. Oops. And there's a lot of great stuff going on. My only real complaint, and this is just kind of about the nature of these kinds of games, is that there are, at times, so many things for you to remember about what Luigi and Gooigi can and can't do that sometimes you get stuck because you're like, well, what am I supposed to do to beat this boss or to beat this mini boss or to get through, like there's a I won't spoil it, but there's a chase scene of sorts in the middle part of the game, and this ghost goes to this top gutter part of the area, and I'm like, okay, I can't reach it with my poltergust, I can't shoot it with a suction cup, Luigi can't get up there, I don't get what I'm supposed to do. And so I was just like trying to tinker around the room. And then I eventually figure out, like, I don't know, 5 minutes later, oh, look, there's a lift that I'm supposed to use with Luigi to, you know, have him blow to turn it up, and then I can rise up. That's fine, because it makes you think, but that's a lot to remember, that I was like, oh, yeah, I gotta use the Luigi only when I'm on the lift and him blowing it so I can rise up. It's a lot. And there's a lot of other moments like that. There was another one where I had to fight these ghost spirits, and they inhabited a trash can, but I couldn't figure out how to actually get them out of it. And then I found out, oh yeah, I have to use the special reveal light to, you know, enchant the trash can or whatever to make them come out. You know, that took a lot of my life energy just to figure that out, and that was kind of frustrating. So, and I've had that problem with certain other platformers where, you know, you just have so much to remember that it kind of takes away from the experience. But overall, still, it's a very fun game. This is Luigi. Luigi is hilarious when he's in this game because he knows he can kill these ghosts. He knows he can do it. He's done this so many times, and he's still afraid. It's just, you see him, like, at every level, he's just scared to get out of the elevator, which they do some very fun things with the elevator.
They definitely do.
Yeah. And no, there's no elevator music. Sorry, Mass Effect fans. Though they should, that would have been hilarious. But they really play up Luigi's scaredness. They play up Professor Egad and Polterpup and all of them, and a lot of the ghosts are really hilarious. How you meet and I won't spoil this because I know Tyler knows what it is, but the opening sequence where you actually meet the two big bads is one of the coolest scenes ever.
Yes.
It's just like, oh, and see, because you knew this one person was a ghost. You just knew it. And like, it wasn't like they were trying to hide it.
No,
and
it then, was hilarious how poor, yeah. like, they purposely poorly hit it. Like, did you talk to the one ghost on the right side of the manor at the beginning?
Yeah.
And he's like giggling when you walk away. It was yeah. awesome.
Yeah, and like, and they're dressed as bellhops and wearing masks. Like, clearly we can't tell they're ghosts.
Yeah.
Apparently not. And it's like, oh yeah, it's like, oh, here's our big bad, and they pull a feint that is just so funny and so awesome, man. I honestly, during that one chase scene, Tyler, that I won't spoil, I actually lost. I almost did too. I got caught because I hit something, and then like they caught me, and I'm just like, "Yep, game over." Well, I'm dead. Oh well.
I almost did too. I was trying to check everything, and I don't think I had my vacuum then. But I was still like trying to like punch the walls.
Yeah.
I escaped, but he took a big swing at me, and I was like, "Oh my god, I would have died."
Yeah. So overall, I think the game's very fun. They make sure that it's not too linear. In regards to getting all the floors, so I appreciate that. Our fellow writer, I think it was Diego, has written his review of Luigi's Mansion 3. He currently has it at a 4 out of 5, which I agree with that. You know, it's a fun game. It's not the most challenging game, and it can get a little repetitive at times, but it's still really fun. And if you've been waiting for a Luigi's Mansion game, this is the one that you've been waiting for, trust us. So
would you give it, I don't know, like a 4.5 out of 5?
I literally just said I agree with a 4 out of 5. Do you not
well,
listen?
You said you kind of agree with it.
No,
like,
I don't. I said
it
right now.
It sounded like you might have wanted to give it like an extra 0.5.
No. Right now, no. It's a 4 out of 5 definitively.
I think it's a 4.5 out of 5. So.
Well, you're also the guy who gave Spider-Man Far From Home a 5 out of 5. So I don't know.
It was. That was a great movie.
No, it wasn't.
It really wasn't.
All right. Anyway, so definitely go check that out. Again, the review for Luigi's Mansion 3 is up. If you want to go see what our cohort has to say about that. Oh, I do want to say a little inside joke here. Diego was asking, or it was Diego or someone else, and they were asking who or how they should do the review. And I go, they go like, how many words should I put in? And I go, oh, try for 1,000. And I go, okay. Oh, one more thing. If it's below 3 stars, you don't post it. Nintendo is sacred ground here. And he said okay, and I was like, did he take me seriously? I hope he didn't take me seriously. So I won't know because it was a 4 out of 5, though. So we'll see, because I'm still mad at Diego for putting a Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 at 2.5, because that was just hurtful.
I think we all haven't forgiven him for that was tough.
So wrong. All right, so we had some very interesting news this week across a few games. It's not like a lot of news, but it's a lot to take in. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. All right, guys, let's get right to it. Pokemon leaks. Pokemon leaks everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
What the frick?
Yeah, like, I mean, granted, we are getting close to the release date, so obviously the chances of leaks is kind of getting high.
Yeah.
But yeah, just, I mean, I kind of briefly look at what the Pokemons are, and oh boy.
Now, to be clear, we do not know if these are real or not.
Know that these are real.
It's confirmed now?
It's confirmed that these are real, yes.
Okay, well, I'm glad I didn't see anything, so no spoilers.
So this is just a moment. You know, I'm not gonna reveal anything.
Uh-huh.
Just know that when I said Grookey was the best, I was absolutely right.
Oh,
looking at the evolutions for these Pokemon, it is not even close. Grookey is by far the best. Sobble, who I said was the worst, I'm gonna say it. He's a disaster. He is an absolute train wreck of a final evolution. And Squirbunny looks all right. I do like Squirbunny as well. He's pretty good as well. I'm exaggerating, of course, but I do actually like two of the three starters. Sobble, I actually don't like, but yeah, there's a ton of interesting Mon this time around. I don't agree with Will's negative assessment overall. I think this is a pretty good batch.
I mean, like, I don't mean it in regards to, like, it's a bad thing. Like, I mean, I'll pretty look like only, like, one Pokemon that looks like a flip book, like a photo book of some sort. And, like, okay, interesting designs. And, like, I didn't take a big look at it. But the fact they don't have Ekans. Like,
Yes. So that's the thing. We'll talk about this in our final segment. We'll go into more detail on, I guess, what was revealed outside of, you know, the starters, which we've already kind of talked about. But we don't want to give too much away for people who plan on not being spoiled until
like
next week. So, yeah, exactly. We have one amongst us.
I want to observe it purely. And I almost got it spoiled because I'm watching the Death Battle cast today, and they were like, oh, we're going to talk about the Pokemon leagues. I'm like, okay, that's fine. They could talk about it. It's not like I'm going to know anything. And then I went, no. We're going to bring up all the Pokemon that were leaked, and we're going to talk about our feelings. And I'm like, oh, crap. So I skipped like 20 minutes of the show just so I couldn't see it because I don't want any spoilers. All right, I don't mind hearing about what other Pokemon are in the game, like Ekans or whatever. I couldn't care less about that. But like how the Pokemon look, I want to be surprised. I want to see Scorbunny's final evolution and then criticize Tyler for not thinking that it's not
cool.
It's
good. No, it is good. I really do like Scorbunny.
Okay.
I do.
See? Told you. So
I actually like Scorbunny a lot. Like, he's not Grookey, but I do like him a lot.
Shocker. It's almost like, yeah. I told you that was going to happen.
Agreed. I always said Scorbunny was my second favorite. But yes.
Anyway, so has it ever been this bad? I mean, I don't remember this for Sun and Moon or you know, Ultra Sun and Moon. And
I think that the entirety of Sun and Moon also leaked, but they released so much more beforehand. Like, there was not a Pokemon Direct. I thought absolutely, without a doubt, we would have a Pokemon Direct probably today. And yet as far as we know, there's not going to be one.
Well,
and the last time they revealed way too much in the last couple of games. So this one, they really tried to keep it quiet.
Well,
so
they
I think
did.
That's
they,
why
they,
it seems even worse.
They legitimately said that they have not revealed more of the new Pokemon because they want there to be surprises for the people.
Right.
So ironic.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's tough. And I agree with their decisions. It's just, and we talked about this a little bit on a previous episode. It's just in the social media era, it is so hard to keep a secret. I mean, it just takes one person who knows one person to put out a tweet with a photo, and you're like, okay, now we know every single Pokemon in the game. It's ridiculous, but it's just the world we live in.
Yeah. And it's to me, it's sad because, again, the Pokemon team, whether you like their decision of not putting them in, all of them in or not, you know, they were working so hard on this game. They were trying to make it, you know, the best looking, the best playing, the most fun, the wild area, Gigamax, Gigantamax, the new Pokemon, the old Pokemon, the Galarian variants, all of it. They were working so hard on that. And they go, hey, what if we just dial it back this time? 2-minute trailers, small teases, we'll show them the enemy team, you know, we'll show them, you know, cool cutscene of the legendaries. Let's just dial it back and let them experience it all for themselves. And the team was like, you know what, I think they'll enjoy that. Then on November, what was it, 4th, 5th, something like that, like the whole leaks get on the internet and they probably see it and they go, frick. But
probably stronger language.
Of course. But it's just like, I feel so bad for them. I mean, we've all had games spoiled. We've had games spoiled to say, like, oh, yeah, this game is coming. We're going to talk about it a little bit later. But it's just like, you know, and you feel bad when it's the developers think they got this really cool super secret project going on. And then it gets leaked. And, like, we're still excited, but part of the wow factor is there because we're like, oh, the leak was true.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
Like, Tyler, you remember when we were watching E3 2017 and Metroid Prime 4 got revealed and I was screaming at the top of my lungs because no one teased that. No one. No leaks on that.
Right.
They
right.
were able to keep it secret.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you think about it, that was so early in development
that
well, were they going to leak, you know?
Yeah.
But it's true. I mean, the excitement that people get is so great. And to your point about feeling bad for them, there's been a lot of reports that morale is super low at Game Freak right now.
I would be. I mean, it's like with so many leaks.
So many leaks, people bashing everything about this game. And listen, I think that fans should be able to voice their criticism. I mean, you want to buy the game. You love the series. It's like a sports team comes out and doesn't play well. You should be able to boo because you're disappointed. Like,
yeah.
I get it. You know, it probably it stinks to be the person who's being booed. And you know, maybe it'd be better if we didn't. But I can't come down on people who are upset about the volume of Pokemon. And again, it is there's less Pokemon in the game than I thought there were going to be.
Yeah.
I was much lower than Todd, at least, because you thought, how many did you say you thought there were going to be in the game?
Oh gosh, I don't remember. I thought it was going to be like 400 or 500 maybe.
Oh really? See, I thought you said higher, because yeah.
Oh, I knew it wasn't going to be like 700, 800. I thought it was, I think I said between 400 and 600 range, maybe.
Really?
I don't
okay.
remember.
I
don't
you
remember
said 800
now.
But
don't,
yeah.
Don't
but
hold me to it. Don't
you're
hold me
closer.
To it.
Yeah, yeah. Your expectations are appropriate.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I feel bad for them. I mean. Why do that? And that's going to be part of our main event. It's discussing like whether you know certain people have the obligation and duty to reveal these leaks, or should they respect the developer. So that's going to be an interesting topic for a little bit later. Mm-hmm. All right. And of course, if you do have non-spoiler remarks about the leaks, by all means, chat with us at NEP Podcast on Twitter.
I'm gonna jump overboard here and segment bring us into the next thing, because we're talking about leaks. And I don't know if you guys have seen, but there have been leaks of the Sonic redesign for the Sonic movie.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
let's go. The potential leaks. It's still not confirmed.
Yes.
Yeah, this one has not been confirmed.
This one has not been confirmed. And let me tell you, it looks unbelievable. It looks so good. It's incredible. It looks great. Like,
I agree.
If this is real... They actually got it right. Like, they actually got it right. I can't believe it. Like, and this seems, again, this seems pretty real. I am definitely team real on this. And I'm so happy because they actually got it right. He looks great. He has gloves. His eyes look good. His spikes look good. The smile looks good. It's perfect. I mean, he has blue arms, but I don't even, that doesn't look weird to me, even though I know he doesn't have blue arms. It just... It looks fine. It looks really, really good.
I guess I could tell that you were a Sonic fan, but I couldn't tell. Oh, wow. But
I'm going to see this movie, and I'm going to be proud of it.
I just want to note that before the podcast, Will was having some mic issues. And Tyler was asking whether he sounded like a few octaves lower. And I said no, but he was right because it was just a weird mic issue. I want to note for the record that Tyler just went 3 octaves higher on his own for a Sonic redesign.
I'm so happy. I thought that they were going to be just totally like ruin what little bit of respect Sonic had left. And yet, no, they actually did a good job.
If this is real.
I can sleep at night.
If this is real,
this does look very real.
It does look real. I mean, but then again, Grinch.
I know, but yeah. So I can't even say but because I was so convinced about
you
the
were.
Grinch leak. But yes, I
the host was right though.
Again, I'm confident in this.
I've seen the redesign. I actually seen a few shots of it. I saw the movie poster one with the guy in the background. So then I saw a few other takes on it. If this is real, it does look better. It looks so much better. It feels more like Sonic. I would have to see it or this version both in poster form and in like a clip, because you know something can look good in concept art, but you know, or a movie poster, but then you like see them moving, you see them talking. I'm still not sure why Ben Schwartz is the best person for Sonic. I'm not saying they needed Jaleel White. I won't go that far, but you know, gotta juice. But you know, it looks better, and that's the important thing. Is like there was a lot of people online giving crap for those like me and Tyler who were like they need to change the design right now, and then they did it. They go, oh no, the fan base is dictating the movie so much. Now we just want a freaking good Sonic movie.
Yes,
that's not a lot to ask for.
Exactly. It was so annoying when people were like, oh, they're going to ruin the artistic vision. No. Did you see how the character... He looked horrible, and it's Sonic. It's an iconic character. We know how he looks. It's not like they were doing any service to the character by making him look awful.
Forget... Artistic vision was also what gave us the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yes.
What
right
also
point.
Gave us the two Street Fighter movies. Now, granted, one of them actually felt like Street Fighter, but it was still terrible. and the Legend of Chun-Li was just bad. Sorry, Ming-Na Wen. Let's see, what else? Tomb Raider movies were actually pretty good, or so I'm told. You know, it's hard to go wrong with Jolie. Prince of Persia was 50-50. Blood Rain, we don't even speak of that one. So don't talk
Assassin's
to me
Creed
about
movie.
What?
Even the Assassin's Creed movie as well. Yeah.
Oh, Assassin's Creed. that was
Warcraft
artistic
was pretty awful by all
except in China. China loved it.
What?
I kid you not. It grossed the most amount of money in China.
That's that is.
It's a market. It's a market.
Also, my dad.
So we've
loved
been
it.
Through this before. Like making money doesn't necessarily mean that people liked it.
No.
But maybe they marketed it well there. I mean, they did like it. I don't know.
Well, you also gotta remember, it's all about the region thing. Like there are like remember Pacific Rim 2? Pacific Rim Uprising?
Yeah.
Did huge in China.
True.
Huge. Because they had a Chinese robot, and that was enough for them.
Man,
that was it. It died 5 minutes into the movie. They didn't care. They was like, oh, look, they got a Chinese robot, and the guy made a lot of money. So it's all about the regions. It's just how it is. Just like how China won't, like, they didn't release the Joker movie because of its R rating. And they didn't, they did the same thing with Deadpool. They weren't interested. They could have loved it. We won't know.
Right.
They didn't release
right.
it.
Right.
So it's all about the regions. But yeah, so don't tell me about artistic vision when we have all these terrible video game movies that prove that just because you do have an artistic vision doesn't mean that it's going to be a good one.
China has no integrity. No integrity for China.
No. So, yeah, we shall see who is right, who is wrong, and whether this movie is going to potentially be good. Because I know you're set up for the look.
It's not going to be good. It's going to be a horrible movie. But if Sonic looks good, that is all I can ask for. And I'm going to go watch it. And I'm probably going to not like it. But I'm going to watch it.
Heck, it has Jim Carrey. I think he's going to carry the movie.
It's all on Jim Carrey's shoulders.
It is.
Like,
it
he
is, but
really
that's...
has to be great.
And I know, but lest we forget, as great as Jim Carrey is, and he's one of my favorite, you know, actors, he's also had plenty of dud movies, all right?
Yes.
And he either nails it or he doesn't, and that's just how he is, because for every The Mask, there is Me, Myself, and Irene.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or
Apex Mountain for Jim Carrey has to be Yes Man, of course, just the greatest movie of all time.
I think that one's very underrated.
It is. It's criminally underrated.
Yeah, and then, you know... Then his role as the Riddler, you love it or you hate it. I loved it, but that's just because I really like Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, he's going to nail it or he's not going to, and that's just the way it is. So,
it's a shame Ka is the best character in Yes Man.
So, we shall see. All right. Are we done with this, Tyler? Can we get back to our
regular program? We can switch gears.
I mean, we're already 45 minutes. We got to go fast.
That's fair.
Yeah, baby. All right. So the other major news that came out of this week was the reveal that Terry Bogard of Fatal Fury is officially now in Smash Brothers. We had a 48-minute video of Mr. Sakurai detailing literally everything you could possibly detail about Terry, his moves, his stage, the cameos, the music, and of course Sakurai being Sakurai, which we all love and appreciate. So, first of all, I want to give props to the leakers. They were wrong, but they were close. Because they said that he was likely going to come out on November 1st. He came out on November 6th. That's 5 days. That's within a week. I'll give you a pass.
Yeah. All there right. There were some that got it dead on as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't see those.
There was a mix of...
All right. Well, I just remember last week we talked about the first leak. So,
yes.
The November 1st leak. So, okay. But for all of you who got it right, props on you. So, I just want to talk about how Sakurai, gosh, he's such a kid, and I love it. He was talking with such reverence about the Neo Geo, about Terry, about the SNK games, about Art of Fighting, and all these other titles, and about the 20 cameo characters that they got, the 50 songs that they were able to get from SNK. You hear that, Square Enix? 50 songs across multiple titles and not the same franchise. So take notes, especially if we get Sora. So we'll get like Simple and Clean and that's it. And you know what? Honestly, that's enough because Simple and Clean is a great song. But just it was so much fun. I mean, how was I thinking about this? Like, how is this going to be 48 minutes? And then you just see Sakurai dive in all the detail, the moves and everything. And it's just like 45 minutes just flew. It's just
it
the
did.
Way it was.
It totally did. I did not. Afterwards, he says this one might have been a little too long. I don't know. I didn't feel that way at all. I didn't know anything about Terry coming in. And I feel like I could write a book about him now.
Yeah.
It's such is. that. I mean, granted, the probably like the big chunk of it was due to he basically showed off the entire classic mode rap for Terry during that presentation. But aside from that, like, yeah,
and he acted like a boss while doing it. All right. Oh, this is so hard to talk and play at the same time. Oh, I gotta move. There we go.
Oh, now you know how streamers and LPers feel now, Sakurai-san. But
I
yeah,
love how
it,
meta he is too.
He is so good.
He pretty much gave an entire history lesson of Terry in that 48 minute presentation. Again, like, he grew up with that thing. Like, again, he explained that this was before his time. He actually started making video games. So again, even gave it the whole Neo Geo history lesson of the Neo Geo X, GX, and all that, including the small one. Like, yes, this was the Switch before the Switch came out. So, yeah, it's just really good to see, like, really Sakurai just, he cares. Like, which is, I don't know, I'm sorry, it feels like it's very rare of developers who actually give a damn about video games. Like, they just care. Like, they do it for the fun, they do it for the passion, and it shows. It shows in the product.
It really
and, like,
does.
I mean, like, it was the point, like, even, like, granted Capcom has been improving lately, but it feels like sometimes, like, it's other developers that, like, shows much more better IP than the IP owners, like Capcom. So it's kind of the funny thing, which, like, I believe, like, Maximilian Dude on YouTube pretty much compares it. It's just, like, again, he cares, and that's why it, like, it looks so good. Just giving us this tribute, all the references, all this service is just, like, that's why you're Daddy Sakurai, Sakurai-san. You're Daddy Sakurai.
50 music tracks.
50.
50. So, Square, I don't want to hear it. Like, SNK gave him 50. That was a great moment where he's like, we gave him a list of 50 that we thought might be good, and they just responded, yes.
God bless.
I also loved when he was doing the classic mode, and I don't know if this was intentional or not, but Bayonetta in Smash 4, as you recall, was absolutely obnoxiously broken, and in this game, they nerfed her, so she's awful. She's just not very good. And she hit him with a witch time, and it just didn't stall him at all. Like, there was no punishment that she could, she just couldn't follow up. And he goes, she is so good, while he's playing it. And I just pictured Smash Bros. Twitter and all the Bayonetta players just melting down, because very clearly she was not that good. Yes, that was very funny.
So, but yeah, they went whole hog on Terry and his moves and his style. And I have honestly not played any of the Fatal Fury or King of Fighters titles. I've written about them, I've watched the videos on them, and of course I watched the death battle between him and Ken Masters, in which Terry won for obvious reasons, Tyler. And so I know, like, some of his moves, like Crack Shoot and Buster Wolf, Burn Knuckle, and all of them. So it was fun seeing them come to life. And then they even got to, he was diving so deep into the history of Terry's moveset. It was hilarious. Like, this is from the original Fatal Fury. This is from Fatal Fury Omnibus, and, you know, on and on and on. And then they even got to create a new move. That must have been, like, such joy for Sakurai. He's like, I get to add the Terry's moveset.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, of course, we can't not talk about the what do we want to call it, Will? The controversial element of this
more
game?
Like the interesting element, really.
Sure. I can feel your anger.
More like,
yes,
fury,
let it flow through. Sorry. So in the King of Fighters level, which I think is really, really cool. All right, can we just note that for the record? There are a lot of cameos from Fatal Fury, King of Fighters, Art of Fighting, and a whole bunch of other SNK games, Metal Slug, and a whole bunch other ones. And if you know the history, like I do, of these games, you'll know that there was a character missing. And Sakurai was quick to point that out. Mai Shiranui, one of the most important characters in Fatal Fury and King of Fighters, is not in the game. Gee, I wonder why. Well, according to Sakurai, Smash Brothers is for good little boys and girls.
I want a correction, because that was actually the localizer. It's not actually the words of Sakurai himself. That was localization.
What did Sakurai himself say? Because I saw that as well.
What did he say?
From what I've heard on the original translation, is basically it is similar to, like, unfortunately we really couldn't get through past the set ratings board, the Japanese ratings board, because of of reasons. So yeah, that's the reason why. Okay. I think that was kind of like the basic answer. Because again, like the English version, like again, because Super Smash Bros. Is for good little boys and girls of all different ages. Yeah, I think thank you, localization. I know you tried to make a joke out of that, but there are some that were like, why is she not here? Why?
Okay.
I am proud of Will's reaction because I expected him to be more like, I've seen so many people who were like insulted by that quip, and it was just funny. It was a joke. Like, get over yourself. But Will did not fall for it.
It's now becoming such a meme. I mean, because of that localization. I mean, like, oh, Super Smash is for good little boys and girls.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Well, okay, E10, Will. E10. Okay, for those of you who do not get the joke, look up My Shira Nui. I guess the 3D models are out there. And, you know, various amounts of art, if you want to call it that. Let's just say that her outfit leaves nothing to the imagination. And her fighting styles and stances are directly tied to her using her assets to distract opponents. That is literally her lore. Is she uses her lady parts to distract other fighters. And you can't exactly show that in a Smash Brothers game. They barely got away with Bayonetta, who technically strips down when she does her hair attacks. So try having Mai in there, even as a cameo.
Like, it's kind of the thing I'm kind of like, yeah, like, as a cameo, okay, fine. But I'm surprised they actually couldn't even pass it as a spirit. I mean, like the Chun-Li, all that, like, different spirits. I was surprised they couldn't even cameo as a spirit, which is kind of like a interesting little
thing. Wait, that's a good point.
Hold on. Do we know she's not going to be a spirit?
Yes.
That's confirmed?
Yeah, she's not a spirit.
Okay. Because, I mean, that would have been easy. You could have done a more, like, a forward-facing pose. You know, you still would have showed skin, but it wouldn't have been like
exactly
intolerable.
Mm-hmm,
so maybe
I mean,
they didn't want to risk
it. A spare would have been an easy pass, but that's kind of an interesting bit.
They probably could have pulled it off, but I think Sakurai calculated just how mad fans would be if they didn't give her real outfit, or if he just had her like standing upright and out of character. Because as we said, he loves this. Like,
yeah, he loves.
He wouldn't believe. He wouldn't create it if it wasn't in the right image or the image of the character. And I'm sure that actually played a role in why he didn't just, you know, give her an outfit that was more covered up.
And although I'm sure people won't be happy about this, we have to remember one thing. She's not a playable character. All right? They went crazy with the cameos. Like, I can't believe how many cameos they did for this game. I mean, if it was just like, you know, Andy and who's the third guy with the spike hair?
Joe Higashi
and, you know, Geese Howard. Yeah, gotta have
Geese Howard, Rock
there.
Howard,
falling out of buildings
all
is
these
his
people.
Thing. I love that line. Falling out of
all
buildings
these people.
Is
that was really funny.
That was great. But you know, like having the core cast, and then you know maybe Mai. You know that would have been okay. But they had 20 cameo characters that even Sakurai said we probably went a little overboard on this, but we just love this so much. So they probably did all those characters to supplement the fact that they couldn't have Mai, or they didn't want to try for Mai because of you know not being pure to her character.
Perhaps.
So,
I mean, I was already surprised. They even got Blue Mary, which she like, yeah, she's pretty out there. And
but
I mean
that's
I get it.
Tank top. I mean, come on, or like a midriff cutoff. That's different than Mai, who's literally how we want to say the shake sweater
it's
mother
really
gives her.
She's a kuno again. In lore, she is a kunoichi.
I feel like Sakurai was gonna put her in the game. He would have had her do the pose and the animation.
She would have had her do her idol animation, which is bouncy.
I mean,
how much
like,
of a thrill
again,
do you get out of saying before every one of your spins on
I call it the David Letterman effect. He used to say eight times every minute.
Like overall, like just to wrap it up, I mean my feelings are like I get it. I'm not happy about it, but I get it. I mean, again, with the whole ratings board, of course, like, we can get this, we can't get it because, again, you don't want to bump it up to the whole full T rating. I getcha. But, again, it's just can't help but there are some things that we can't help but think about. Like, again, a lot of people can go with Bayonetta, like, a lot of different things that, I mean, yeah, guns, all that. Like, there's a lot of different factors we can't help but just wonder about debate. But, again, I get it.
All right, now, one more thing about Terry before we move on. As you know, Sakurai and his team at Nintendo and Sora, they work really hard to make sure that this game is as perfect in regards to the characters and moves and everything else. But that doesn't mean that they occasionally don't miss something. There is a game-breaking bug right now, I'm pretty sure it hasn't been fixed yet, featuring Terry, and here's what you gotta do. Okay, you have Terry go up against the ice climbers, okay? And you have him, you get up enough damage to do the Buster Wolf. You have to be over 100% for that. When Terry does the Buster Wolf, and then you have the ice climbers use their side special Squall Hammer, if you do that in the perfect timing, both characters will freeze. Like, game-breaking, they don't move. That's the bug. And apparently one of the ice climbers can get free, but the only way to fix the problem is by having the ice climber jump off the stage and die so that everything can basically reset.
Right.
So, that's a very specific bug, alright? You gotta be with Terry and the ice climbers, over 100%, using the Buster Wolf and the side Squall Hammer. You know, that's a lot of... I'm not going to be mad that they missed that one, okay? So
yeah, and I'm sure they'll patch it out. Because video was everywhere on Twitter today.
So, woo! Alright, so moving on to lesser news, but still fun news. Fire Emblem Three Houses has gotten brand new DLC. And while Sora Team may not be... maybe a little shy about appealing to certain fan bases... Fire Emblem has no problems whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have officially allowed the sauna to be in the game. So make of that what you will. There are now maid and butler outfits and battalions that you can put on certain characters in the game, including Bernadetta. And, yeah. So
pretty much all the females.
I only saw a clip of Bernadetta, but...
I just have a point about the Bernadetta thing. I find that is like super gross for her character given her support conversation.
Lighten up.
Well, you know where I'm coming from though,
yes,
that, right?
I know
given
where you're coming from.
I get you.
Her dad would beat her and abuse her, and he wanted her to basically be a maid. And
yeah.
Like, so it's weird that to have her in that outfit, it just seems kind of twisted.
Think of it as an out.
It's not. It's not even an out. I don't mind it for every other character, and I don't mind it. It's not a big deal to me at all. I connected that dot when I saw her in that outfit. I was like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Anyway. I mean, granted, everyone connected to story-wise, sure, but for me,
right.
It's service.
Yeah, yeah, see, I'm not complaining about the service. I don't think it fits her character, and I wish that they did something different.
Other things you can do in this update and run and DLC is you can finally recruit Anna by completing a special quest. That's basically it. But
no, Yuritsa has been added to the Crimson Flower.
I get
Yuritsa,
yes.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't see that. That's interesting. So I've already beaten Crimson Flower, so I guess I won't get him, but that's fine. So let me know if we actually learn more about him this time around.
Yeah, I'm sure he has Mercedes support conversations.
Let's hope. All right, so moving on. So that's available now. Oh, yes, something for Tyler. Ukulele.
Yes.
There has been a lot of rumors about whether Playtonic, the developers of Ukulele and the Impossible Lair, are A, going to be bought out by Microsoft, and B, going to be done so that they can work on a new Banjo-Kazooie game. These rumors have been going on for a little while, and so they decided to just grab the bull by the horns and answer by saying, "Hey everyone, we wanted to address the speculation currently swarming our mentions. We hate to be the bearer of bad news, that isn't what you want to hear, but we thought it was best to come out and say we aren't working on a new Banjo-Kazooie game and we remain an independent studio. While we would love to work with the Baron Bird again, the ball isn't in our court. With that said, we are keen to continue progressing as a studio, carrying the experience of games we have worked on, old and new, to create new characters and adventures for you to hopefully love." So
yeah, that was good. I was excited because if Microsoft bought them, I would have not trusted what they put out.
Yeah.
And I mean, it would have been nice to see a Banjo game, but I'm sure that given the reaction that he got in Smash Bros, I think Microsoft definitely had to have taken notice that people are hungry for it. So maybe they'll be able to create a Banjo game. I'm sure that the two worlds can coexist. And I would much rather Playtonic be independent than have to buy an Xbox to get their games.
I mean, especially after the Smash Brothers reaction, I think Banjo-Kazooie is just more desired than ever, and I'm sure Microsoft has plans to exploit that. I think that was actually one of the reasons they allowed Nintendo to do this, was so that they could see if there is still a lot of Banjo-Kazooie fans out there, and there clearly are. But whether that translates to a new game, we'll see. Take that as you will. All right, speaking of other DLC characters, Smash Brothers. Yeah, you thought we were done. No, we're not. Once again, we have more quote-unquote leaks about who is going to be in the game. Can we even trust these anymore? Because a lot of them have been, no one said Terry. Everyone was thinking like Samurai Showdown and a whole bunch of things. No one said Terry.
Terry leaks came out like 2 days before.
Oh, that's cheap. That I'm talking like weeks beforehand, all right?
Yeah.
So those don't count. But yeah, so no one was saying Terry, and then that was fake. And then there were people saying Professor E. Gadd or Greco, Rayman, which I think Rayman still could show up, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I think Rayman will show up. I really do. Next.
It's possible. Next, I mean, he's been on enough Nintendo platforms. But now the latest rumors, one of which is plausible, the other is very unlikely. So apparently a person got some screen grabs of potential spirits that are coming out, and that was one of the reasons we believed that an SNK character was coming, so that part was accurate. And the two characters that were shown was Mallow from Super Smash Brothers, Super Mario RPG, and then one of the monsters from Doom, which would seem to imply, if this is to be believed, that Geno, who has long been requested for Smash Brothers, and Doom Guy is coming to Smash Brothers. Do I really need to say it?
I saw a similar leak. It was one that was about like Mii costumes. So there was a Mallow Mii hat and then a Doom Guy helmet. That was what I saw. I really, really, and I know that the mob is going to come for me for saying this.
Uh-oh.
There's a lot of people who really want Doom Guy. There's not one character I want less than Doom Guy. Doom Guy in Smash Bros.
Like, shouldn't be there.
No, he shouldn't. Master Chief, if you're going to do a first-person shooter with a helmet on, make it Master Chief.
But
like,
I would fight on Master Chief because he's not a Nintendo character.
He's never... not, but would you rather have Master Chief or Doom Guy?
Doom Guy. Because if we're going to do, like I said, the third-party rule is that every character has to be on a Nintendo platform. The only exception is technically Joker, who has a game coming out.
That's the only exception. It's not a rule. It's a rule that you've made up, and it's not true anymore.
But it fits. And technically it does fit because Joker is coming.
Persona Q and Persona Q.
Persona Q. Ha.
Right, but when
that came out before.
I win. That's right. Yeah, I forgot about Persona Q.
Thank you, Will.
What Nintendo console was Terry on?
Back in the SNES days. Like,
yeah, SNES.
NES.
Oh, so he wasn't just on the Neo Geo?
No.
Nope. He crossed over. Remember, there's a whole lot of localization changes, including with the whole bouncy.
And, although I don't like including this as an example, on the Nintendo Switch, there was the SNK Furies game, and they had a female Terry Bogard.
Right, I remember that.
So,
I'm surprised that wasn't an alternate costume.
I'm surprised.
I think it's because of the hitbox.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah, you're right, actually. That's a good point.
Maybe an echo?
Yeah.
Female Terry! I'm so confused.
I don't believe these rumors, though. I would love for Geno to be in. And if that meant Doom Guy, like, okay. I just don't get the love for Doom Guy. I just don't see it.
You do realize that that's technically not his name. It's just the name we've given him. We don't know his actual name. He's just Doom Guy because he's the guy in Doom. That's how he got his name.
Right. And it's just, again, we're going to see the leaks. Sure, Geno and... Whoop is, again, the fan favorite. A lot of people want. I mean, it was just a Mii costume and possibly... But... Doom Guy, on the other hand, is like, I mean, it would be interesting, but I feel highly unlikely. I mean, again, all we just need is, like, someone who's, like, again, who's a good icon to represent in the sci-fi shooter? Like, Doom Guy, Master Chief, heck, something that goes alongside, but, like, Sam Aaron in that department. It just feels like, Doom Guy? Yeah.
No, I definitely agree with you there.
Now, my thoughts on this is, A, Doomguy shouldn't be in there. Not because he's not been on Nintendo platforms. We know he has. All right, Doom 64 is still legendary. But there's a difference between wanting to have... We got lucky with Bayonetta. All right, that is M-rated character every which way from Sunday, and they were able to make it work. Part of what Doomguy does is that his bullets rip through people. Okay,
Yes, great
you notice
point.
that Snake. Okay, Snake was another good example. He uses guns, but technically they don't use the guns here. His only gun is his grenade launcher, which is an explosion which they can hide. You know, he doesn't use his pistol, which he has in every other game. So they were able to tailor that here. You can't do that with Doomguy.
Right? It's like a big theme of today's podcast has been Sakurai's attention to detail. And if you're going to do Doomguy right, you have to have him punching aliens' faces and then ripping their heads off. Like, that just doesn't work in Smash. It just doesn't work in Smash.
And then some of his guns literally like eviscerate people and like dissolve them, which you can't show. So it's like, what would you want you to do? Now the Geno leak, if we're gonna call it that, you know, that makes sense. You know, that is honestly one of the weird cases where it's a third-party character because it was made by Squaresoft at the time, but Geno was born on a Nintendo platform and he hasn't been used anywhere else. So Geno would make sense, and a lot of people want Geno in there, and that's fine. But you know, we've also been asking for him for what, 5 games now? So whether he actually comes is a mystery. But don't tell me that the Doom guy is a likely candidate, because I just don't see it. That if they were to put him over a whole plethora of other characters, both first and third, that would be very controversial. I mean, oh, and not to mention, they didn't put Mai Shiranui in there because of her outfit. They would have to tone down what Doom guy can do because his violence would make it T-rated. Okay. Bayonetta, I forgot about Bayonetta. She uses guns. They made her guns energy bullets because they could
Magic
with
bullets,
magic bullets, so that was their cop out, which they can do. They can't do that with Doom Guy. He doesn't use magic. He uses laser energy at times and regular freaking bullets.
Right, and don't forget about Joker, who actually loses a legitimate gun, and the fact that the final smash, like, instead of the blood effect, they had to use sparkle effects. So yes.
All right, so I think we've vented enough. So, with that, let's head into our main event, which is, not surprisingly, about the leaks. Because there's just been, in the last year or so, in the last few years, if we're honestly being honest with ourselves, if we're honestly being honest with ourselves in an honest fashion, the leaks are getting out of hand. All right, and it's one thing for the fans to quote unquote leak things, but then at times you get, you know, the official sources. You get the journalists, the bloggers, the YouTubers, the ones who you trust as, let's call it word of God. Like, if they're reporting it, it has to be real. And sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. So, is there a point where they should ask themselves, should we report this or not? And we're going to hold a special session of the NEP Secret Society to deal with that. All right, I call the society to order. Tyler, I want you to take lead on this. Explain the mindset that we should be in for this.
Yes, so I think right now we're at an interesting point where we're in our just in the world at large, honestly, we're looking at what is a journalist's job. You know, how far does the responsibility go? And in gaming, obviously, the pressure isn't nearly as high, but it's still very much there. The question that we're looking at is, at what point should a news source like IGN report on a major leak like this Pokemon leak? Because is there duty to the people to say, hey, we have this news, this is now a newsworthy thing? I mean, the Pokemon leaks are huge. They're obviously newsworthy, while also kind of considering, but wait, this stuff's not supposed to be out. Maybe these sources are a little sketchy. How should they go about approaching this? Now, my personal opinion is that, I mean, of course, I think we'll all think the same thing, that there's definitely a gray area here. But I would actually prefer news organizations to err on the side of telling the fans what's going on, because we're about to spend money on these games. And if the company's keeping things a secret, that definitely could negatively impact people's wallets. If somebody buys a game they don't know what they're in for, that stinks. And I feel that it's the obligation of those companies to kind of take care of the fan. And I think IGN has done that. I saw the Pokemon leaks on their website. They attached all the images and all that stuff in a separate link, so it wasn't on the page, which is smart. If you wanted to click on it to see, you could. You didn't have to. But those are just my thoughts on it. What are your guys?
It's definitely an interesting position to be in, definitely. Like, if it's something like regarding to perhaps it's like hypothetically speaking, like objectively bad. For example, like we're looking at like the amount of Pokemon that we have right now is like very lesser. Perhaps it would be best to actually do leak it, because again, like you want, as you said, you want to have like the best product. Like if we want to get like, I don't know, less than 800 Pokemon in this new person, of course it's gonna raise some fears. And like, yeah, you might as well like feel like is the knowledge that you need to let people know to warn them per se. Like so, like this in one situation, and then on the other hand, when you have like information that like you got this information and like it's legitimately like very exciting information, like for example, like you got all these Pokemon including legendaries or even returning Pokemon or like a new Smash character that no one would expect it to be, I mean, like I don't know, like Travis Touchdown, and you want to share it to the world, and like that's this, you they are caught in that in an interesting position that yes, I like for leakers that want to like yeah show this thing, like it's definitely good on their part to like give some clout, but at the same time, I like Todd, you mentioned this before earlier that you can't, I can't help but feel bad for the developers who are working hard on this game. Like I've noticed, like I do have witnessed the situations at game developers, like one leak can really destroy the enthusiasm. I mean, heck, Capcom going to like fight off their fighter pass and it got leaked right there, it really killed their drive during EVO. Like everyone knows this thing, it's a surprise, but then everyone knows, and like, shoot, this sucks. So, like, it's definitely that interesting position of leaker. Like, do you want to do this thing? Is it possibly going to have a good effect in the outcome? But do you want to also, like, really take away that all that hard work that these developers are doing? Like, good or bad, like, it doesn't matter if you're Capcom, EA, or Konami. Like, do you really want to go and, like, take away all that hard work they have been doing for your own personal clout? That is the little debate I feel that's definitely gonna be for the position there.
For me, it's a complicated thing, because obviously we work for a website, and imagine that we had a source in Nintendo, let's say a game tester, because that was my position at another video game company, and they for whatever reason just decided to tell us, dudes, I'm gonna let you know the fifth and final Smash Brothers, sorry, the fifth character of the fighter pack. And I go, yeah, right. So they send us, you know, video of them playing, let's just say Travis Touchdown to make Will happy. And no, let's say my Shira Nui to make Will happy. You know, gotta make Will happy here. And so he shows us video and we're like, holy crap, that's actually real. And so now we're in a curious position, because if he just told us that, and we can prove it, like, let's just say by trimming the video to make sure he's not shown to get him in trouble and all that, and we could get millions of views, which means that we would be getting clout for the Outer Haven. And that would be huge. And, of course, that would make our overlord, I mean friend, Koopa Keith. Hi, buddy. How you doing? Well? we don't want to upset the king here. And, you know, so we are obligated in one way to report that. But if it's, you know, a curious thing where it's like, you know, could we report this? Should we report this? Or are we just grabbing views? That's when we should exercise more discretion. I'll give you a great example. There's a website. The website that I keep finding up with these quote-unquote leaks for Smash Brothers, they're reporting, like, every leak that comes out. And it's always from like 4chan or some Reddit thing.
That's a great point. Those are so annoying. Right, they are purely just to get people to click, because they know you see Smash League, you're going to click.
Yeah. And now, granted, there are so many terrible, terrible clickbait ones. There's another one that there's a site they frequent, then they host to goodness have really great comic book news, but they also are the worst clickbaiters on the freaking planet. All right, they will do like a contrarian opinion just to stir things up, or they'll do this totally false title just to get you to click because they know that it's going to get a reaction out of you. And that's terrible, but that's just how you run those kinds of things at times to get the views. But this is different. You're toying with people's emotions by saying, oh, new potential Smash Bros. Characters leak, and you're almost compelled to see who is going to be the leak today. Oh, it's Doom Guy. Oh, it's Professor Egad. Oh, it's Rayman. It's Joker. It's Terry. It's female Terry, you know, and you're like, what is real? What is Recall? And what is the Grinch? And, you know, so Tyler, when's Mach Rider going to be coming into Smash Brothers?
He's coming. Just hang on.
He's not coming. He's not coming. Him and the Chorus Kids are going to be a duo pack. They're going to do it like Heroes, man. They're going to be duo characters. The Chorus Kids will be singing as Mach Rider comes into the stage. You know how it goes.
I'm glad that you mentioned the Grinch leak, though.
Go ahead.
That flashes me back to specifically Game Explain, the way they handled it. And they will still mention this on Twitter, and it is appalling to me how indignant they are about people complaining about how they handled that. Because everybody on that who works for Game Explain said that they have good reason to believe that it's not true. They all said, we can confirm this is not true, but they wouldn't say why. They wouldn't explain why they knew. They just said, we have a good reason to believe that this is not true. And that just, I felt like that was just the absolute worst way to handle the leak. Like, if there's a fake leak out there and you know it's not, why are you not telling people that, hey, we know that this is fake? Your job as a journalist is to report the truth, to report facts. I don't understand why they handled it that way, and I have not watched Game Explain videos since, because it was so, it just felt like they had their own backs. They didn't want to, you know, put release information that they thought, oh, maybe, I don't know how they could have, it would have even tied back to an individual, but maybe they were thinking, oh, I don't want to hurt this one individual person, so I won't say it. But just, and I get that your job is to protect witnesses, but for a case like that that's so harmless, to just not debunk it with a reason is just, it's astounding to me. I'm still angry about that.
I definitely sympathize regarding to that. I mean, especially with the current state of like game journalism, with people pushing agendas or whatever clickbait, whatever like reasons, of course you want to get your site as much clout as possible. And it's like relating to the whole leak situation again, Grinch leak, prime example, is like, yeah, it's really is that, like, you, especially when you know it is a fake leak, a complete manufactured leak, is like, yeah, you know, like, you're not supposed to, like, basically spread the misinformation. It's like, you again, us journalists, we have integrity. We need to go at least acknowledge that, yeah, this is fake. You need to put it down. This is not real and all that. And again, unfortunately, with this whole age of news media, and unfortunately with fake news being populated, sadly enough, it's just like nowadays, it just feels really like it's really out there. So it's almost the point, like, even the general public can't trust like outlets like us, like we who like legitimately do want to do integral work of like reporting the truth as best we can without putting too much of like our biases aside into it. But now people kind of have that mistrust of it, as like, for like you, Tyler, you don't really trust too much outlets because, again, like, you feel like got betrayed, trust was misplaced and all that. So, yeah, and going to the leaks is just, like, yeah, kind of, like, one of the examples of such, yes.
Yeah, it just felt like they were protecting themselves from Nintendo's wrath, because with the new Pokemon leaks, there's been reports that they're no longer sending review codes to as many people, which we've had a problem here at the Outer Haven with, for sure.
Oh, yeah. So, I just, there's, it's honestly just a sign of our times, because there's this divide about what is more important. Is it more important that the site gets attention, even if it's just, you know, an extra 10,000 views? You know, is it all about the money? Is it all about the news? You know, a great example is what happened recently with BlizzCon. there were rumors about, you know, a second Overwatch game, a fourth Diablo game, a new expansion for World of Warcraft, etc., which is, you know, the kind of standard fare you would expect. Let's be honest here. But then, like, I don't know, a few days beforehand, ESPN, of all people, got leaked a packet confirming Overwatch 2 and basically everything that was revealed at BlizzCon, which obviously took a lot of wind out of Blizzard's sails, because they're like, we're totally going to drop this. No one's going to expect it. You know, we're going to go more on the lore of Overwatch, and Diablo 4 is going to be awesome, and we're not going to make the same mistake as that mobile game, which mysteriously disappeared. And did it disappear? Diablo Immortal? I don't remember now.
No, that is still in development, but they don't think they talked about it today.
Oh
yeah,
gosh.
I don't think they talked about it at BlizzCon, but...
Oh, shocker. Anyway, so... I was going to make a joke here, but I won't. So, you know, it's just like, I feel bad for Blizzard. Even after all the screw-ups they've had in the last few months with the China-Hong Kong situation, you know, they didn't deserve that. They didn't deserve to have, you know, some of their biggest reveals, which completely turned the tide of fan hate back towards their joy. You know, that it was spoiled because of ESPN. And yeah, but was it ESPN's right to post it? Kinda, I guess. I don't know. I mean, they could have. It's just so complicated, because if you have the news in front of you and you know that it's real, which clearly ESPN did, you know, don't they have the right to post it? And kind of, but it's the same thing about like movie spoilers or certain video game spoilers. If someone had played, like, imagine someone playing Last of Us 2 a few days beforehand through whatever means, and then they leak the ending online and just totally screw people over, you know, that would be terrible, and we would crucify them. But don't they have the right to post it because they just happened to get to the end of the game before the rest of us?
Well, that's that brings me into another point I wanted to mention.
Go ahead.
The YouTube thumbnails, that's a real problem.
That goes beyond
journalism. Like, that's not Game Explain or GameSpot or whatever. That's fans going on and posting, like, Luigi's Mansion, I've seen the final boss, just because I've gone onto YouTube and they know I like Nintendo videos, and then I see a Luigi's Mansion, here's a picture of all the endings, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, now I know what the end of the game looks like. Like, great, thanks. That is a problem that I would hope, and I know this won't happen, but I would like for people to just stop watching the creators who spoil stuff like that in their videos. That's just morally wrong, in my opinion. I mean, if you're leaking video of endgame content, like, that's a problem.
Yeah. I work for various YouTube channels, and the question of thumbnails is very, very important, and you have to play things a certain way else to get in trouble. And yet, like, this is not the best example, but Fire Emblem Three Houses, I know the end game art for basically all the females of the game because I've seen videos of them, like, spliced together. Like, Catherine reacts when I haven't watched the video, obviously, because I'm saving that. But I know her reaction to Byleth marrying her, and when they're like, I'm like, oh, that's adorable, but now I've lost the surprise. It's just like, why would you do it? Why would you do that? Oh, because I'm trying to show it. It's like, you could show it in other ways, moron. So you're definitely right on that. And that is not an obligation. That's just being a jerk and trying to get...
Right.
Call that clickbait thumbnails.
Right, that's like basically what I'm kind of doing for myself. Like, I know about Shamir's ending, but I have not seen it yet. So, I kind of take the flair out of it.
I looked at the Pokemon leaks, I guess, to bring it back to Pokemon. And there is information in that leak that I think people should know about before they buy the game. Like, that's my opinion on it, but we've decided we don't want to share that stuff, but it is out there if you want to look at it. Like, the number of Pokemon, who's in and who's out. That, to me, is, like, if I was running IGN, I would run that for sure, because you're looking out for the consumer there. If you do it in the right way and you say, hey, this information has leaked, here's, you know, a paragraph of text so you don't have to see anything, and then here's a link to the leak, that is the appropriate way to handle it. I would like to see these outlets have the consumers back before they have their own before they're protecting their own interests, before they're saying, oh, our relationship with Nintendo could be in trouble if we say that we know that Incineroar is the next character, so we're not going to say it. Which I'm going back to the Game Explain thing again, I'm very confident that that was what was happening there, because Incineroar was the leaked character beforehand. Everybody thought it was going to be Incineroar and Ken were going to do the final two, and they said, we know that it's not the Grinch leak. We know the Grinch leak is fake, but they wouldn't say why they knew that, and that's just the only other piece of information that was out there that so many people were saying. Like, it wasn't like that was a secret. Like, people knew that Incineroar was a rumored character for a very long time. You wouldn't have been ruining anything if you said, hey, we have information on who the next character is. Turn away now if you don't want to know. And then, because the information's out there, like, you have to have the consumer's back. It's incredible.
Yeah,
to me that
but there's, even then though, like, I'll agree with you, like, if IGN wanted to make a post about how many Pokemon are in the game or how many of the older generations are in the game, I would have been okay with that. You know, that's a leak, but that's not like the most detrimental leak, because, you know, that's them showing, like, hey, here's some of the Pokemon or all the Pokemon you could technically catch in the game, which, like you said, is something that people will want to note about for both fun reasons, training reasons, and whatever. That's fine, because that's not really spoiling everything. That's just preparing you for the experience versus showing all of the evolutions for the starters and revealing all the new Pokemon that haven't been revealed yet. You know, that's going up against the director's or the game maker's wishes, because those were the things they were trying to hide. You know, the rest of the Pokemon, sure, they were technically trying to hide that, I suppose, but that's a lesser blow than showing the evolutions, which they have intentionally not been showing in any way because they wanted people to be surprised. And now they can't if they look at the leaks. So, like I said, there's a line, and it's important to know where that line is. And I think a lot of people have lost it where that line is, and that's what makes me sad. There's another site that I go to for all my Nintendo news to look at to see if there's anything new that I've missed. And, like, they have this top featured stuff. 9 of the 10 that they have featured are Pokemon leaks. You know, oh, these new Pokemon have leaked. These new things about the Galar region. Oh, these new Gigantamax Pokemon and blah, 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 blah. And it's just, like, one thing is about Fire Emblem because of the new DLC released. And then, Terry got revealed, so that took a top spot for all of an hour and all that stuff. So it's just, like, people are so, like, desperate for whatever reason to find out about these leaks. I'm like, can't you just enjoy the game?
No, I mean, you're not wrong, but I do think it's a subjective. That's the tough thing about this. It's like everybody's line is going to be different. Like, for me, I would like for people who have the information to put it out in a responsible way, where they're not using it as their thumbnail. So people who want to know the information can learn it. And people who don't know the info or who don't want to learn it don't have to. I think that's my answer. But I do see your point, especially I'll go back to that. We'll use the Pokemon example. If the Outer Haven leaked Pokemon content, and even if we appropriately flagged everything, Game Freak would probably see that, and Pokemon Company would see that and say, you're spoiling our game. We don't want that. These are our secrets. And I could definitely see how that's disrespectful to – how it could be portrayed as disrespectful to the creator.
Yeah.
I just think that at this point in time, and I think I mentioned this earlier, it's just the world we live in, man. You're never going to keep this stuff a secret. You know, especially if you're Pokemon, you're the most incredible – one of the most beloved franchises of all time. People are clamoring for your information about your first home console game ever, or mainline home console game.
Yeah, mainline home console.
So it's just you have to understand that the perfect world, it doesn't exist, and we have to come up with a framework that will work for the one that we have, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's a complicated thing, and that's why we're talking about it, because it's like, you know, what is what we should be doing here? What is fair? What is right? And yet, what is right for the fans who are going to be buying this game in a week? And, you know, how many times should we say, you know, here's the next Smash Brothers? It's okay to report a rumor, I suppose, but say it as that, and don't say, you know, oh, the new Smash Brothers characters have been leaked. That's not what's going on. If that's
right,
the case,
right.
We would have already gotten into, like, the third or fourth fighter pack by now.
Yeah, I don't labeling it rumor, and it's like something you started. Like rumor.
That's just terrible journalism. But
that
happens all
the time, though.
Oh, of course it does. It's the
how
internet.
Often I see that. Yeah.
It's the internet. What do they get? But I mean, like, even the site that I was referencing earlier, they were at least citing someone from 4chan or Reddit, where we know certain leaks have been
right
in the past.
That's true.
All the time, not even a good percentage of the time, but you know, even one in a million is still the one you're going to pay attention to. So, like, those are okay, but, you know, like, when we do, like, our April Fool's jokes, we do that with the full intention of just rickrolling you all, and we do that for fun because it's April Fool's Day. But, you know, when I will never, ever do a, you know, here's the next rumored characters for Smash Brothers, and I'll put, I don't know, Riku from Kingdom Hearts, and Medusa from Kid Icarus Uprising, and, you know, stuff like that, and then, like, have no source. That's not fair. That's not right. That's just me, you know, projecting, I suppose, of who I want. That's not even my top five, to be honest with you. But, you know, I won't do that because that's no integrity in my journalistic sense, and I do try and be 100% accurate with my journaling, just like I know Will and Tyler do, and everyone here at the Outer Haven. You know, if we get caught or we get called out on it, then that discredits the site, which is a big problem. And then you won't trust us. And if you can't trust us, then we're doing something wrong. So it's a complicated issue. And we encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to tell us what you think on this issue. In fact, Tyler, I think it's time to bring back the poll.
I agree.
This is the perfect poll question. Do you think leaks are good? Or should we report leaks? Frame it how you want, but should we report leaks if we have the information?
Got it.
Yeah, I'll let you phrase it how you will, because you never listen to me anyway.
It's definitely to frame the question of, like, yeah, should we report leaks when we have a credible, like, concrete source? Something of those lines.
Even if it's like we're 85% sure this is real. Like, it doesn't have to be 100% because there's always that 1% chance. But if you're, like, mostly sure that this is real, should we report it? Like, I definitely want to hear your thoughts on it because this is getting crazy. And make sure you're tagging, like, Pokemon leaks, Smash Brothers, Smash Bros. Leaks, all that stuff. Because this is an important question, and I very much want to see what you guys think about all this. And so with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Let us know what you think on, the Pokemon leaks in general. No spoilers, but just let us know what you think of the designs or who's in the game, who's not in the game. Let us know. Have you played Terry in Smash Brothers? What do you think of the character? And is Tyler wrong for thinking that Terry is not a good character? Are you going to get the new Fire Emblem, DLC? And what are you most looking forward to with that? Have you seen the Sonic Hedgehog movie redesign, and what do you think of it? Do let us know, and we'll talk to you next week. So, for Tellius Tyler and Warrior Will, I am Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag.